Thank you, Karen. Welcome everyone who are joining us online or in person that we're able to share in the Word of God together. Let me pray before we start today. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your Word that challenges us and encourages us. Keeping it as much, stop watering things, stop trimming things. Some of the wilder plants grew wilder and took over some other places. Weeds started popping up again in the pebble strips. And sad to say, those clover weeds returned and I was defeated by them. They now, take up about a quarter of the grass patch and I can't go back to that battle anymore. If you've ever looked after a garden before, you know there's a whole host of things that goes into it. Planting, pruning, trimming, watering, weeding, fertilizing, staking and supporting, and soil care. And all these things you need to do continually. Not just once, but you need to do it over and over and over again. It really is a never-ending task. And this is what it looks like now. These clover weeds last night, it's just, I've lost. And hopefully, as we will see, when it comes to nurturing disciples, nurturing one another is very much like nurturing a garden. There are a whole host of things that goes into it, and it really is a never-ending task. In the letter of 1 Peter, when he's talking to believers that are scattered throughout the Asia Minor area, Christians being very, very much a minority group in the Greek and Roman world, he affirms them of their assurance in the hope of Christ. That in Christ that they have an inheritance that will never spoil or fade, even though they are scattered, they are still very much a people belonging to God. And as followers of Jesus living in a pagan world, they are to live holy lives in general society as much as in their own households. Don't live like those non-believers in the world, he says. Stay away from their idolatries, their drunkenness, and their lusts. They may suffer for being a believer, but if they were to suffer, suffer for doing good. Their daily lives were very much to be Christ-like in their image in the world. And in the image that Karen just read for us, his attention turns to the community, how they are to live together as a believer in Christ together, as the body of the church. As disciples of Jesus, he says they are not to walk in their faith alone in this world. They are to do it in community with one another, supporting and encouraging and nurturing one another in the faith. After all, he begins today's passage, Peter says, they share in a common hope. He says to them, the end of all things is near. Not in a fearful or scary way like the end, the world is ending with zombie apocalypse and all that stuff. But end as in the goal that they're looking forward to. The purpose of their faith has been realized. It's like they're running at the end of a marathon and the finish line is right there for them within grasp. Or they're about to graduate, they finish all their studies and they're about to throw their hats up and receive their certificates. For believers scattered and being in a minority in this region, Christ has already risen, he says, and they live in the final stages of God's redemptive history. The end of their faith is certain and within sight. Therefore, he says, with this common goal in mind, he gives four practical ways of living out this reality in the community of faith. The first thing that he says for them to do is to be alert and sober-minded so that you may pray. The very first thing he reminds them as a community to do is to pray together. For it is the foundation of their faith. As the Lord's Prayer reminds believers that they are to honor God in their sovereignty and holiness, to submit to his will and to teach them trust and dependence and to repent together, asking for God's guidance. Prayer together points them towards God in their own faith. But individually, Peter knows that they're prone to forget these things. But when done in a community of faith, they're able to remind each other every time they come together to pray together. When the world around them seems chaotic, through prayer, they remind each other that God is indeed sovereign over all. When one of the fellow believers may be suffering difficulties or sickness, they can pray together to rely and to turn their trust towards God. As much as they would like to depend on themselves in their daily lives, their prayer turns them to the one God who is in control. When they come together to repent together, they bring to themselves to a state of empathy and forgiveness for one another, reminding themselves that they are indeed sinners before God together. We nurture disciples by praying for and praying with one another. That's why we pray together on Sunday worship. It's so important for us to keep doing these things. That's why we do them in our small groups, TYF plus, even at beginning and the end of our meetings. Christianity is not meant to be and cannot be a solo journey without prayer. For when we close our eyes together in prayer, we direct one another's hearts towards God. We are able to turn our focuses away from ourselves, but to the one we worship together. Through prayer, we build one another up, and we nurture each other up through into maturity in faith. And that's the first thing he tells the believers to do together. The second thing he tells them is to be above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Nurture disciples by loving each other deeply. Not like these sort of K-drama, you know, make your heart swoon sort of love. Not deep love in terms of emotional intensity, but deep in sincerity and strength. Like a strong oak, steadfast and long-lasting. It is able to withstand the test of time and trials, not easily disturbed or uprooted. It is a love that is earnest and steadfast. It is genuine and intentional. It is to be actively pursued in us within community and persists within us despite difficulties and any differences there may be. This love is so powerful, it is able to cover over sin. Of course, Peter's not talking about, you know, forgiveness of sin that we receive from Jesus. He's talking about the forgiveness we have with each other. Love that nurtures disciples, bears and forgives the sins of one another. Just like any church today, churches in the first century would have had its own fair share of disagreements, misunderstandings or arguments. Like today, you know, you don't have to be part of a church for a long time before, you know, you realize how imperfect we are. And it's the same within our daily church life. The imperfections of any church and any believers means that it's only a matter of time before we realize how necessary this love is in the nurturing disciples of this community. Because it's only a matter of time before something comes up you don't agree with as a believer. It's only a matter of time before someone intentionally or accidentally offends you. It's only a matter of time before someone breaks your trust. It may even be a matter of time before someone goes so far as to hurt you deeply. It takes earnest love to cover over these sins. It takes love to choose to forgive, to choose not to retaliate, to choose not to hold these things against these people. This sort of love breaks a cycle of sin. It turns what would otherwise divide us into what brings us together. This love is, of course, first enabled by the love and forgiveness of Jesus himself. It begins with a recognition that one time or another, we too have been those who have sinned against other people. We may have betrayed someone's trust within this congregation. We may have been the ones who have intentionally or accidentally offended someone next to us. We need that earnest love to recognize that we too may have been the ones to have hurt someone deeply. We nurture each other as disciples by asking, how can we seek to build one another up instead of tearing the other person down? Instead of, how can I be the right person out of this argument to see how can we reconcile our differences? Love brings us to choose to say, I may be hurt by you and you may have wronged me, but as Christ has forgiven me, I too will forgive you. And as Christ has not held my sins against me, I will not hold your sins against you. Earnest love nurtures disciples by seeing the best in one another, seeing them as Christ sees them, as what they will one day be perfected in the new creation. Love brings us to treat one another with grace that we ourselves have received in Christ. Built on the example of Jesus himself, it is a superpower that can transform grudges into fellowship, bring offense into reconciliation. You can even turn enemies into brothers and sisters. And that's the power we have in the love of Christ. This is the second way Peter points us to how we can nurture one another as disciples in Jesus. And he continues on, to offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Whenever we may imagine hospitality, you may think about opening up your doors and bringing your friends over or people at church over for a meal. Back at that time when it was traveling long distance meant literally traveling from town to town, inns were few and far between. And it usually serves the bare necessity of just having a roof over your head. And you never knew who you would be staying with. For Christians at that time to open up their homes to one another, it offered up a comfortable and safe option. But yet, what Peter says, it meant more than satisfying just a practical need. It is an act of open-heartedness, of warmth and kindness and trust towards fellow Christians. It says to them, I trust you enough to invite you to sleep under the same roof as my family, that I welcome you enough to open my homes to you and to sit at the same table with you to enjoy this meal. At a time where there was very little, you know, background checks or social media, you don't know these Christians. At best, you may have heard about him from someone else. Someone else might have vouched for them. They might have just turned up at your doorstep saying that they're a believer. But for them, it was an opportunity to open their lives to one another. In that way, hospitality is more than just a matter of opening up our homes. It is the opening up of ourselves to other people around us. It is for us a gift of presence in the lives of each other. Presence being the willingness to just be with someone. Not just physically, but relationally, emotionally, and spiritually, to genuinely care and open up to them, willing to just sit beside them and listen to them as they go on about their lives, to allow them that safe space to speak to us without judgment, and in the same way for ourselves to be vulnerable enough to open ourselves up to them, to be present in sharing in their joy as well as their suffering, to be patient and committed to walking next to them, both in life and in their faith. It is very hard to nurture someone from afar, at a distance, or even intermittently. Being present with someone means being invested in them for their spiritual growth while walking alongside them consistently over a long period of time. It doesn't mean we always have to be, you know, there hounding them and seeing how they are. But it does mean that we need to be available. Even in times where it may be inconvenient for us. Or at times where we may rather be doing something else. We allow them to be in that space where we can just sit with them. In earnest love, we are willing to be present with one another so that they may be nurtured as disciples. And the fourth gift that he says is a gift of service. Peter says, use whatever gift you have received from each other as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Note how he says, whatever gift you have received, not if you have received any gifts. See, in Peter's mind, to be a Christian is to have received gifts from God that you can serve others with. No matter young or old believers, whether you have been a believer for a day or decades, God has equipped every believer with gifts that they can use to nurture his people. And he says this gift comes in various forms. It doesn't give us a list, but in verse 11, he continues to talk about those who speak as if it was the word of God. Those who serve will use the strength of God to serve, to cover all ministries, both in word and in deed. All kinds of gifts, Peter's saying, can be used for the nurturing of God's community. You may have the gifts of leadership, administration, teaching, prophecy, discernment, evangelism, practical helps, even just giving is a gift of Jesus. There are many other things and a whole myriad of them that forms the body of Christ together. To all believers are given these gifts, none more important than any other, all working together in the body of Christ. Faithfulness of believers, Peter says, is to use these gifts well. Don't just, you know, use them for yourselves or squander them or neglect them, but to serve and build up the family of God together. Once you become a parent, one thing we realize is there's a saying that it takes a whole village to raise a child. And the idea is that, you know, it takes more than just your parents to raise children. You need different role models, different peers around them to influence them, to teach them different things, to present with them different challenges, because every one of us have different experiences in raising children and what they have to face forward in life. In the same way, it takes a whole church in Christ to nurture a disciple. It takes all of us in various stages of our lives and experiences to share in the teachings that we have received, our perspectives, our own knowledges, the things that we have learned in our own lives, the mistakes that we have made, to nurture one another. It takes young and old to share in their passion and their experiences to challenge individual disciples, that together as the body of Christ, we may build one another up. See, every one of us, you sitting here today, if you're a believer in Jesus, you are equipped by God for the nurturing of his people, to spur one another on in this journey of faith. It is not something just for the pastors or the leaders to do. We all have a part to play in this church. To be a believer is to use God's gifts for you to serve others. So we nurture disciples by praying for and praying with one another. We nurture disciples by having earnest love that is able to forgive and to bear the sins of one another. We nurture disciples by being hospitable and present with one another. And we nurture disciples by serving one another. Each of the four needs all the other four. Without love We can't pray genuinely. We can't be sincere in our presence, and we can't serve. And when we do earnestly love each other, we won't be able to help but to be present with them, to have a burden to pray for them in our daily lives, and to serve them with the gifts that we have received from Jesus. All of this Peter says in this passage, not because we have to, not because it's a duty for you sitting here in this congregation, but for the praise of God's glory. I love that he doesn't even say for that, so that those people can grow. But it's for the praise of the one who has saved them. The ultimate goal of our love as a reflection of Jesus' love is that God may be praised. We want to see people raised up in their faith and to mature in this journey so that they too may glorify God. So as we spread out into this world, we will bear his image into this world that doesn't know him. See, we get to be a part of his ministry. We get to see firsthand his goodness, his mercy, and his grace for his people. So as we reflect on our mission statement for our church, to nurture disciples in God's word and to be sowers of his love. The natural word that could have been there would have been make disciples, as you know, Matthew in the Great Commission. But we deliberately chose the word nurture to remind ourselves that this is a journey and not a destination in this life. As from the gospel, to be made a disciple means continually growing in a lifelong pursuit of Christ and his likeness. It doesn't end when we come to know Jesus. We don't want to just help you here to become a believer and to just leave you be. We want you to keep growing more and more like Christ, knowing him clearer and clearer, loving him deeper and deeper, and walking ever more closely with him each day. And look at the focus of one another that Peter has in this passage. To love in one another, to serve another, to be hospitable to one another. This is not a hierarchy that, you know, comes top down or like a school that, you know, the teacher anything. Our church is like a web, all nurturing one another, all nurturing others while being nurtured ourselves. Other people need you just as much as you need other people. Just as no one is too spiritually young to encourage other people, there is no one too spiritually mature to not need to be encouraged themselves. Disciples are always growing. Whether you're a believer for a day or the whole life that you remember. The start, you know, we talked about the nurturing of, you know, my garden and how it required many inputs. Nurturing disciples needs a whole church's prayer, a whole church's love and presence and service. And like a garden, nurturing disciples takes time and dedication. It will not happen overnight, and it will require effort and sacrifice. It needs patience and endurance throughout this journey. And he calls us to invest ourselves into one another for the long run. Personally, I find nothing more exciting than seeing people grow in the discipleship of Jesus. If you have served, and most of you have, you would have seen how God works in the lives of believers. You may have seen hearts and eternities changed by the gospel. The entire trajectory of their life changed overnight because they have come to know Jesus as their savior. When we invest and love disciples, you may have seen those who were living for the world come to live for the kingdom of God. You may have seen pride, turn into humility. Selfishness, turn into generosity. Anger, into gentleness. Lust, into honor and respect. Anger, into gentleness. And anxiousness, into trust and love for God and other people. This is what nurturing others can bring. And this is what being nurtured ourselves can be like. It is a transformation that God works through his people to each other. Yes, it will take time and work on others and on ourselves. It may be painful, it may hurt, it may be frustrating. But as I've seen in my own life, and you may have seen in yours, God will supply the whole abundance need of grace needed for this journey. He will give all that is needed for this change. Yes, there will be times it will test our patience, but the nurturing of one another as being disciples is infinitely worthwhile. Will you invest in other people around you? Will you be dissatisfied just to be a passenger in his congregation? Will you long to see one another grow beside you? The opportunities are always here. There's always someone that just needs your care, needs your presence, for you to see how they are, to see how you can be praying for them. The opportunities are all around you. Let me pray. Father, as we reflect on our own church, we are thankful for all that you have done for years, for decades past. We thank you for many disciples who have been nurtured by you through other people before us to bring us here today. We are thankful that you supply all that is needed, that we may build up, we may build each other up. Lord, as we search in our hearts on the parts we play in this congregation, show us, Lord, who it is that you want us to open ourselves up to be awkward, to go up, to share and to talk and to pray for. Put a burden in our hearts for one another that we may care deeply and to have that genuine love to pray and to support one another. Lord, may we ourselves be humble enough to seek out help from other people. May we have a desire ourselves to continually seek you out and to be challenged by our fellow believers. May we look for those who can walk alongside us, that we may not walk this faith alone in this journey, but that we can come together each week, each day, as we grow deeper in love with you and to follow you more closely. May we see fruits that you work through in our church, through the work of each individual, that together we may bring you praise and glory. Amen.